We've been talking to each other a lot. So if Robert isn't rolling the tape yet, he can roll the tape now. Hi, Robert.
I heard you started. I'm still going to get a microphone.
He wants to talk back.
I talk back to you.
What I think the church should be, but as you can see, because I got being the facilitator here, I wanted to say what I think the church should be like, or what I think the church should be doing, or moving toward, because we don't want to all sit here and say, I think the church should be the body of Christ and then go home, you know, or I think the church should be the kingdom of God and then go home, or an anticipatory community or whatever it is Walt says, and then go home. But how can we make that more, how can we make that more what's going on with us in whatever we consider our part of the church, our corner of the church, our view of the church? So that will be maybe adjectives or verbs or something that's letting us know what the church should be. Maybe we could start out by kind of just saying, I'm so-and-so, and what the church is for me is, but not answer with a paragraph or an essay, because we could spend, we're going to be here about an hour, and we could take the whole hour just saying what the church is for me, but maybe just a little list that would make us know what the church is for each of us and where we're coming from as we talk. So I could say that I'm Eleanor, and if we're going to be rather specific, you know, not theoretical, not philosophical, the church for me is Zion Lutheran Church, Indiana, Pennsylvania. The church for me is the Northwest Pennsylvania Synod. And I think the church for me would have something to do with, like a theological community. I think that I think of that as church also when I'm thinking of what the church is for me right now. What's the church for you, and who are you?
I'm John from Prince of Peace. The church is Prince of Peace in Phoenix, Arizona. The church is my employer. The church is...
Yes.
It's not a bother.
My community.
It might.
Okay, I'll cut it down.
I'm sorry. Phoenix, Arizona, and they employ you,
and... It is my community.
And it is your community. You want to go ahead, Matt, and then we'll come back to people on this side.
Okay. I'm Matt Freeman. I guess two things come to mind about the church. One is just the church is the body of belief. Well, but the whole thing that...
Not theory.
Okay, well, I have to say that.
Okay.
You know, the church is what Christ died for, you know, the bride, mm-hmm. that's spoken of. That's one thing. And then my own church is St. Paul, not the cathedral, but St. Paul Lutheran in Kodiak, which I think is a place where fellow believers can meet together and kind of reinforce the whole thing. It's not good for people just to be off on their own, but they need to come together. If the church isn't everything, it could be your, a place to be together.
Okay. I am Julie Burks from Central Lutheran in Portland, Oregon. And the church for me is really a social gathering, a community gathering, a place to learn about God, community, hospitality, professionalism, and go on forever.
Yeah.
But it really is, for me, a learning and growing environment.
Mm-hmm. Who are you, and where or what is your church?
Oh, okay. My name is Hata. I'm from Washington. For me, it's the people of God. It's a community of people who center on a common thing that connects us spiritually. And it's about what you just said. So, and then that church can be anywhere from. It is not tied to any particular denomination or place.
Mm-hmm.
It's wherever people are, there's a kind of spirit.
Let me encourage us as we keep talking to try to say that my church is, you know, the campus ministry at X University, or it's Holden Village, or it's, and save kind of the defining and the theoretical discussion for a little bit later, just so we make sure we get around.
Oh, you just wanted facts.
Yeah, but that, you know, you didn't, you know, that was coming, you know, so yeah, let's start with just the facts. So we have a little fix on each other in that way. Go, Keith.
I'm Keith, and my church is St. Olaf Lutheran in Austin, Minnesota. And I look at my church as a place where I can exercise somewhat of my creativity and feel that I feel confident in using mainly sound, but not that much sound. As a gathering place of friends and sharing our stories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sharon, and my church is St. Olaf Lutheran in Austin, Minnesota. And my church is my community and my support system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Marge Cole, and my church is Epiphany Episcopal Church in Lake Oswego, Oregon. And it gives me an opportunity to be a lay Eucharistic.
I'm Jerry Cole, and my church is Epiphany in Lake Oswego. And my church gives me a chance to practice my ministry and to help that church grow.
I'm Mo Coleman. My father and my grandfathers were pastors, and I tend to think of the church as a colossal network throughout the world that has a calling to serve the reign of God. And I belong to a local parish,
yes.
But I really do think of it as a global network.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. What we think of it as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm Craig Settledge. I belong to a parent nation in Chicago, Ashburn Lutheran Church. I think of the church as an employer because I'm employed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I think of the church as a colossal headache at times and a wonderful opportunity. Both.
And I'm Rachel Settledge, and I'm also a member of Ashburn Church in Chicago. And the church for me, at present time, is my place to go and worship and to be renewed through the sacraments and also to listen to the word. And the church has been my support group also in a community of faith and togetherness.
Mm-hmm. Let's go here.
I'm Brad Bunow. I guess my church is both Redeemer Lutheran Church in Columbus, Ohio, and the worshiping community at Trinity Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
I actually worship more at Trinity Seminary than I do at Redeemer Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm somewhat more intimate with those people.
Yes.
I'm Paul Bosch, and my experience is very similar in that I'm a member of a parish in Waterloo, Ontario, Christ Lutheran Church, but again, I spend more time in a seminary worship setting, and I spent much of my professional life as a campus minister and in campus ministry settings, retreat settings. I suppose I think of the church maybe somewhat along the lines of Walt was enunciating a minute ago, a kind of organic whole that's made up a lot of different cells and organs and tissues and members, each that has its own function, and maybe each that has its own optimum size, and each has its own function. And I find myself moving between these groups with a certain amount of fluidity, and I like to think of the church as all of that, including the church in National Convention, meeting in National Convention. That is fully the church there.
Yes. That remains to be seen.
Okay, now I want to come over on this side, and then we'll go back to the second row back there. We're saying just who we are, and if we're going to talk about what the church should be, what is church for us now, with something a little bit concrete to that.
My name is Marion, and my worshiping community is Grace Lutheran in River Forest, Illinois. And my vocation made me merge a number of communities that could be called church, because I was a secretary in that church and then became secretary to the president of a Rosary College, which was Catholic, and then worked for the Parkridge Center for the Study of Health, Faith, and Ethics, which is ecumenical. Now I retired and I'm back at Grace Lutheran part-time.
And do you think of those others as church also?
Yes, definitely.
When you think of what church is?
Missions.
Okay. Here.
I'm Hillary Stevens, and I'm from Seattle, where I am a member of Assumption Parish, which is a Catholic church. And I think of church presently as having a lot of promise, but needs, I think that there's a lot of change taking place, particularly, you know, within the sort of governing bodies, and sort of the structure of the church is changing dramatically, just as the sort of need. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I guess I see it now as just having a lot of promise. We're not there.
Okay. I'm Nada Ronning, and I'm from Pasadena, California. And I'm a very frustrated churchgoer. My church has gone from a really active family congregation, which I was secretary of, and it was a dynamic congregation. Small, but lots of families and lots of PhDs, and we had great discussions, just like Holden. And people moved away or left, and fewer and fewer and fewer people. And we've had a bilingual, a Spanish and English congregations for the past maybe 10 years. And we live in the midst of Spanish-speaking neighborhood. And I mean, the congregation is in the midst of Spanish-speaking. And so the congregation for the Spanish-speaking is growing very, very well, and it's great. And the English is down to about 20 to 30. And it's real hard for me to worship in a situation like that. And I have two daughters, and through their confirmation years and all that, they were the only girls, the only kids, the only youth. And so we tried to have confirmation with other churches, but basically my oldest daughter, who's here on staff this summer, Desta, went through confirmation all by herself, and I ended up going with her because she didn't like going alone. And we, you know, did this whole thing about, we promised that we'd have you confirmed, you know, when you were baptized, and that's it. No discussion. Yes. And it was real painful for all of us, but both of them made it through confirmation. And they both are really neat Christians, and you know, Holden has been a major part of our Christian growth as a family and as individuals. Holden is one of our congregations.
I've been waiting to hear somebody say Holden is church.
My husband and I have just walked around, and we're just watching our daughter interact, and at Vespers, and you know, we're just saying, well, everything we did wasn't wrong. I mean, you know, it's worked, and we've prayed a lot, just individually. But my church isn't ministering to me right now at all.
Well, then,
and I go to an Episcopal church in Pasadena. Right.
And does that seem like church to you also?
Oh, it's wonderful. Okay. It's like 2,000 members. Okay. Yeah. And I go there and worship, and I don't have to do altar flowers, I don't have to greet, I don't have to make coffee. Yeah.
Okay, hold those thoughts now, okay? Martin, how about you back there?
Yes.
And say that you're Martin.
I'm Martin Wells, mm-hmm. and I have been a parish pastor in Bellingham, Washington for 5 years in partnership with my wife, Susan Briel. And then I've been a campus pastor at Pacific Lutheran University for 8 years, and now one of the directors of Holden Village. The best of church for me has been in probably two places, pre-marriage preparation at the Pacific Lutheran was the heart of church, because I think for me the heart of the faith is a promise made to us and our response and promise. Mm-hmm. So marriage work for me is very fulfilling, and I like that very much, and I miss it a lot
mm-hmm.
here. The second aspect of church that has been very vital to me, I just lost out of my head. but I'll think of it at some point. I'm glad to be here at Holden. I hope that during this 5 years we can contribute to the strengthening and stabilization of this ministry, stabilization of the physical plant, so that this is a ministry of the church and for the church and on behalf mm-hmm. of the church and its people for many, many more years.
Mm-hmm. And there are a couple back here.
I'm Carol Christ, and I'm from Oregon. What my congregation is Trinity, real common name.
Mm-hmm.
What I think the church should be is, or what comes to my mind when I hear the word church,
yes,
is people. You know, the old song about the church is not a building, the church is not a staple, the church is not a resting place, the church is people. Because I am a people person, extroverted and loud, I usually have no trouble thinking of the church as God's people anywhere in the world, any denomination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why, for two reasons. When I was a little girl, my parents shared a lot about world mission, a lot about the global church, regardless of denomination, regardless of location. They told us stories about that. And I felt just as connected to a Baptist missionary in Chile as I did to a Lutheran missionary in Sudan as I did to my own home congregation. Not because I knew those people, but just because the stories. And then the other thing that my parents did that my husband and I are trying to do now with our kids is whenever we can, and it's not often enough, only probably two or three times a year, we worship in another congregation
mm-hmm.
on purpose. You know, so if we're out of town, we'll look up a Black Baptist church in Seattle
mm-hmm.
Instead of Caucasian Lutherans in Oregon. Or we'll go to a non-denominational, cross-denominational church in our same town.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll go to a Roman Catholic congregation in Salem. Just because I want my sons to know what I knew growing up, that church is not this building and the people who come here. Church is much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jan.
I'm Jan Bowman. My congregation is the American Congregation of mm-hmm. Columbus, Ohio. And I guess for me right now, that particular congregation has, I guess I'm where Rachel was in terms of helps me do the work that I need to do in the world, you know, and I like to gather with people who Well, the congregation that's there, I belong there because it's two blocks from my home. And, you know, I walk there and I can get there easily, and I'm very happy, and I try to make sure that we continue to have and try to influence the good music and a wide variety of music so that we have many people who can have feel at home. But I also have the seminary as my church home. I sing in that choir, and that mm-hmm. also helps.
Mm-hmm. All we're saying is our names and what church is for us, and trying to cut down on the commentary on what church is for us, but just, you know, this congregation, this campus ministry, this seminary, this Holden Village, this, like that, would you say?
I'm Don Conrad, a retired campus pastor, living in Lawrence, Kansas. Right now I'm having the fun of doing some interims. I've been in the inner city, I've been in utter suburbia, I've been in storefront, I've been in a large metropolitan congregation. I'm now going to go to a 700 member congregation that doesn't have a building, and not a pastor either at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Church is a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff for you right here.
John Conrad, associate pastor of Yosemite Lutheran in Portland, Oregon. Church to me is people.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm Jan Conrad. With Don.
Okay. Help me know what we've heard that church is in terms of what we might call various expressions of the church. We've heard that it's congregations for sure. Have we not? And what else have we heard besides that it's congregations?
Community.
I mean like a noun. Like church. Church is a congregation. Church is a seminary. Church is a campus ministry. Church is a global network. Paul and Walter both said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people.
And
employer.
What? Yes, employer. Could even be church-wide. Could even be a church-wide assembly. Pardon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, community was said, and I guess I would consider all of those to be community, so. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else we heard?
But, I always stutter over that word community because we say it as though we assume that all of them like that, but I don't think I experienced it in our church until I get that.
That'll be getting into the should be in ever such a short time, I hope.
I'd add some categories from a really wonderful book on this, which is Avery Dulles' book, Models of the Church.
Yes.
It's really a wonderful congregational resource for thinking about the way church is different. The church is herald, proclaimer.
Yes.
Church as sacramental communion,
yes.
That is a place of that. Church as people of God, which has different ramifications.
Yes.
Church as a justice seeker. And mm-hmm. There were wonderful categories in his book that I think are very helpful to help us think about the church.
Because we have some different experiences of church and different views of church, and mostly a room full of Lutherans, right? But do we have two Episcopalians here? And one person who's attending an Episcopal church and Roman Catholic? And was everybody else a Lutheran? And are we ELCA Lutherans? No. Okay. See, one reason that it could come to us as a question about what the church should be is that the ELCA will be having its church-wide assembly, and there'll be an election of a bishop, and there'll be some other decisions made. But we wanted to make this broader than that and not just say, you know, what do we want in a bishop one more time around, but what would we like the church to be? The church should be X. But our answers to that will depend on where we're coming from in the church. So we might have to say, the church, I would like it if the church had more young women coming to women of the ELCA instead of just older women, if we're looking at a congregation. Or we might say, I would like the church to really get a move on and have communion with Presbyterians, or not. You know, whatever it is, it depends on what expression of the church is church for you primarily. So maybe we could, because there could be all different kinds of levels of answers to this question, what the church should be, could we just do something that's like brainstorming for a minute, where you just kind of say a little idea, and then maybe we can see some themes arising from that we could say, okay, let's spend 15 minutes on that one, or let's divide up into little groups for a few minutes and talk about certain things. Otherwise, it would just be, or would you like to have more freewheeling discussion? Would you like to try to pick out some themes that we could address? Or would you just like it to kind of come? What would suit you? Brainstorm?
Yeah.
Okay, but then we're looking for crisp little answers. Crisp little answers, and you might say, I want the same one as what that other person said, and then we could put a check beside it. And we know that that's something that more than one person would like the church to be, that.
Christ-centered.
Give me some more.
One thing I heard was it should be a home. I mean, if you don't feel at home there, you're going to miss a big dimension of it.
Crisp. Yes.
World embracing.
Yeah. Some more.
Support group.
A lot of you said that that's important to you.
Yes.
Could be a place of relationships.
Keep on.
Challenger.
Opportunity for celebration.
Servant.
And what did you say right
now? Challenger.
Challenger.
Clear in self-understanding. That's a lot. I can't get any shorter. Clear in self-understanding.
Clear in self-understanding.
Descript. That's Marty's word. Descript.
Self.
He said it isn't a word, but when he uses it, it goes in the dictionary.
She's writing it down.
And he said servant, too.
What?
Servant.
Servant.
Servant. What do you think the church should be?
Growing.
Setting goals. Mm.
Excluding no one.
One in each place.
One in each place, Walter? Do you want to? I said not to say paragraphs, but do you want to make that up? So you
don't,
said something that we don't get. Do we all get that?
No.
Well,
we
need
an explanation.
One per town.
I think there ought to be like one, not one congregation, but one church in Columbus.
Yes.
And one in Golden. Oh, yeah. And one in San Diego. And one in Calcutta.
Okay.
So.
Now we understand you. Yeah. Thank you.
Stop.
What should the church be?
A place of healing.
Put an asterisk in front of it.
A place of healing.
How about a cultural witness?
Okay. And then there's a hand here, so wait a second.
I'd like to say a nasty word, organized.
Okay, that's not nasty.
Organization, organized.
Cultural, countercultural.
Witness.
Organized. That was
organized organization.
Should be greater than the sum of its parts. A movement.
A movement. Okay, wait a second.
Responsive to needs, human needs, people needs.
Evangelical.
Faithful.
Responsive to needs. Evangelical. It's interesting to see how many of these you might say about any kind of organization. Is it not?
We should throw in something about worship.
Okay, wait a second. Evangelical. There was another word after evangelical.
Faithful.
But music is so important to me, and I don't know how to say it. Maybe musical integrity or
creativity in the arts.
Or something, because it's very important. But I don't know how to say it, because I don't know what type.
Musically rich?
Yeah, that's good. Maybe that's because we're Germans.
Okay, a couple more.
Place of worship. Is this a metaphor of the
I was wondering about the musically rich.
We're having a musically rich experience. Yeah, you said something.
Flexible.
Now, one of the things that we're operating with here is good Christian practice of imagining. Imagination is basic to what we do and believe as Christians, that there are some promises that are yet to be fulfilled, and we want to hold on to them, that swords are going to be plowshares one day, and justice is going to roll down like fountains one day, and every tear is going to be wiped from every eye one day, and the Son of Man is going to come on clouds again, and people are going to be raised from the dead, and we need to be having always a vision of the future. And these are some words we've come up with that have to do with a vision of the church. How can we begin to talk about these words that we've come up with that are hopes of ours for the church? How can we turn this into something that, at least for those of us that happen to be members of the ELCA, when Craig Settledge goes back to Chicago, he can say, well, I heard folks talking at Holden Village, and they had to say they'd like it if the church was whatever. How can we go with this conversation?
I just want to make one observation.
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe two, maybe three exceptions. I'm looking at the local Rotary Club here.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
That's right. Yeah, it's funny.
In fact, having been at the local Rotary Club a few times, the local Rotary Club does most of those things much more effectively and efficiently than any church I've ever been part of. right down to a sort of liturgy that they execute in terms of a very patterned flow of their gathering, what happens serves a variety of people's needs in a ritualistic kind of way, and it can be anticipated, and it makes sense in the context of their mission statement of what they're all about. And I've sat at those meetings sometimes and thinking, why does this feel a lot more like church than church does sometimes, you know? I didn't think of it till I saw this. Nothing up here says anything about the church being eschatological. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we start to part. What you were just saying.
Define the word.
Sorry. Well, what you were just saying about promises being future oriented.
Would you like to add?
That there's a fulfillment.
End times?
I don't know what's a good way to say that.
Prophetic?
I'm trying not to use that. She's right. I mean,
I can spell it, but it's not in my vocabulary. That we're moving, toward an end,
yeah.
And that the end is shaped by God's promises, and that those promises, even now,
the fort impact, and the foretaste,
the feast. Yeah. Somebody respond to Brad's comment that this looks like the Rotary Club pretty much.
I think the music is better.
At the Rotary?
No, at the church. Oh. Great piano players.
I disagree. I hear people stand and sing America the Beautiful with more gusto at the Rotary meeting than I hear people sing hymns at church, by and large.
I'd be interested in hearing if you think Brad is right or wrong in his observation.
Well, there's a few phrases.
Rotary doesn't fit that one.
Which one?
Excluding.
Yeah, except their mission statement would include that and say that that's what they want to be about. You can argue whether they're effective in that, but they would say, I mean, they're, you know.
There's no 5-year-olds or 97-year-olds in Rotary.
Yeah, but they do reach down to kids. They thought of this, you see. They reach down to high school and grade school organizations in order to provide opportunities for them. Now, again, you can argue about how effective they are, but they've thought of it as a strategy.
You're a category.
Maybe we want church to be more like Rotary. Maybe we should have just said.
I'm a category.
Well, what I think the church should be is more like Rotary.
Now, why don't you want the church to be more like Rotary if it's doing all these things?
Oh.
Well, the fastest growing churches are more like.
Okay, and there's a hand back here too, so let's make sure that gets in. Did you want to respond?
What you're saying is true. Then do we need to rethink how we understand membership?
I think that's
especially
a good
within
part.
A theological context in a post-Christendom age.
Because mostly our attempts to gather members are barely distinguishable from what the Rotary Club does. I mean, Rotary is evangelical in a sense of spreading their good their understanding of what good news is about, you know, what makes the world tick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily share their sense of meaning about that, but okay.
How many people kind of agree with Brad? I kind of do.
Yeah.
How many people kind of? And how many people kind of disagree with Brad?
It makes me uncomfortable to hear him say that because I think maybe he might be right. You know what I'm saying? I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't want to say I agree with him, but then I don't want you to tell me why I don't agree with him.
Uh-huh.
Don't ask me why I don't, because that makes me real uncomfortable.
So, Walter?
It just seems to me that you'd have to take about 5 or so of those words away, and then you would have Rotary. Rotary is not eschatological. Rotary is not Christ-centered. Rotary is not countercultural witness by any means. Rotary is not evangelical unless you stretch the word.
Right.
Rotary is not place of worship unless you stretch the word. But I think
it's not musically rich.
That's true,
yes.
Except with a few notable exceptions.
Take those terms away, and you do have Rotary or Lions or Kiwanis or...
Related to being an organization.
Yeah, we wanted it to be organized, so...
But the point is, that's not all bad. In part... One of the things we have to say is that in the ancient Roman Empire, outside of the government, only the church was a network. Only the church provided people with a place to go from one town to another and immediately have contacts and places of community. And the church has over the 2 millennia done a lot of things, pioneered a lot of things, which have since been well imitated by all kinds of other agencies and organizations. So I was a Rotarian, and I was not particularly embarrassed by the international dimension of Rotary, the opportunity for learning, and so on. There were some things about Rotary that bothered me a lot, but I was glad to see it be imitative of what the church was called to be, and I'm glad to see hospitals that are imitative of what the church set out to do when no one else was doing it.
Universities, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I think one ought to be glad that what Christianity is up to is being imitated in a lot of ways by other kinds of organizations. If the church is only now like Rotary clubs, that would be, I think, very, very bad. And the five or six words that we take out of a Rotary description are critical. They're crucial to what the church is called to be, and we have to be more like that.
The word that isn't up there is confessional.
That's not up there either. Maybe they don't want it to be that. See, that didn't come up.
You don't want it to stand for something?
No.
Well, it says organized, but that's not confessional.
But what are you, do you mean by confessional, confessing sins?
No.
The Lutheran confessions? Okay. If you're speaking as a Lutheran?
No, she said she
can't. Oh, that's right.
Whatever.
That's right.
Oh, you understand confessional to be denominational?
Yeah, not denominational.
Oh,
I don't like the
If you confess your faith in certain phrases, blah, 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 and so on.
Yeah.
It can be denominational, it can be.
Are you meaning confessional as in repentance?
Because from this confessional aspect, we
standing for something.
Yeah, I guess I mean confessional because you need to be standing for something.
So here's what I believe.
Yeah, here's what I believe, because if you don't, you're not, let's see, what's the other one?
That's part of why I'm by faithful, I think.
Faithful or clear, and self-understanding also would be part of that, maybe. So maybe we do have it up there.
What would it be to say, what I think the church should be is more like what I think it should be? Or what I think the church should be is the church. You know? What I think the church should be is church. Or what I think the church should be is more like, you know, whatever I'm looking for in a community. Where a lot of these things fit very beautifully in any kind of a community that you might want to be part of. What does that sound like? You know, that's sort of the same kind of dichotomy that Brad
brought. It sounds like a club, and a lot of non-church people say that church is a club to people that have to go to church to have that need fulfilled.
So community can become something too clubby, is that what you mean?
Uh-huh.
Like exclusive,
well, not too
kind
clubby,
of?
But a club. I mean, some people go to Kiwanis or Rotary.
Right.
And some people go to church. Right. I mean, that's a lot of non-church people think of it.
Something happens tonight at Vespers. The prelude was really nice, and it was mood setting, I think, and preparing for worship. And then all of a sudden we clapped. And I'm not against clapping, but it seemed like it destroyed the whole mood by clapping. And it seems like we're not glorifying God, we're glorifying the artists that are presenting the music. And I think that is clubby. That's how I
feel. Or entertainment.
No, I think it's clubby, it's just in a different setting. I agree with you. I felt the same thing. You know, as much as I applaud it as a musician, but I'm really in church. I also feel that sense of reverence. I'm not for that old-fashioned stiff church, but you know, when you go into the sanctuary, I kind of like it to be quiet, that you have sense of focusing on something and not having to greet your neighbor or think of something to talk to. Or that's another thing that bothers me a little bit. There's a lot of chatter going on in some churches here.
So this is one of the things that you're pointing out makes a church different from a club.
Well,
you know, whether we would agree with you or not, one of the things you're saying is church is different from a club because of worship and whatever we think worship should be. Are you saying that, kind of?
Yeah, I guess I would say that.
We had a service last week. It was more of a jazz type of service. And everybody clapped afterwards, after the songs, and it felt, it really went in with the tune, and it didn't break the mood at all. I felt it was wonderful. But today, the clapping, it just was like thunder almost. It just stunned me almost. I think, just the church really needs to focus on developing the mood and stay.
Distinguish, you know, when to clap and when not to.
Mm-hmm. Tonight was just a leadership problem with flow. We needed to be right, ready to go with the service, right, as opposed to the end. It's because when you leave silence for too long, then people start feeling like they should clap and all that stuff.
And if Holden is church, and if especially worship at Holden is church, then we could say, oh, there was a little minute where it didn't feel like church for me, but that still is church. I hope. What's going on here?
Is there anything to the suggestion that we could not, in a sense, in any way like we're doing right now, have had this conversation as little as 40 years ago?
Go ahead.
The rise of cultural expressive individualism has led us all to our own private definitions of what church should be, mm-hmm. and broken apart the ancient compact that determined what church was. Mm-hmm. And so we're really in a brand new day, in a sense, doing something that maybe we haven't done before. I'm not enough of an historian to know whether that's actually the case or not, but it seems to me we ought to acknowledge how individualistically we have become demanding of the church, mm-hmm. that it fit our particular view of what it should be, mm-hmm. and the ancient compact is broken apart. Mm-hmm.
So we could say, why is anybody even asking us what the church should be? You know, they might not have as little as 40 years ago, you're suggesting as a possibility. So what's that question coming from? And where are these responses coming from is the question. Now, we put this question to ourselves. We did. We said, let's ask this as a question. And that's reflective of something that you're pointing out, even that we asked it as a question. Then you're suggesting that what we're saying is individualistic answers. And I don't know if everybody here would agree that what they've said is an individualistic answer or not. But it certainly does have to do with, you know, who's inventing the church now? It could still be grassrootsy kind of thing. You know, it could still be corporate. But who's inventing the church this time? You know, who's...
Well, and I think it's responsible for this breakdown where pastors feel as if they have become kind of salespeople on their own private mm-hmm. corner. And it's up to them to sort of answer the market demand as they understand it in a particular place, rather than to be linked one with another in a common ministry across the country.
Mm-hmm. Some other people.
Church.
Yes, oh yes, people who church, and they could be us, you know, sure. So.
What about the reformers of past centuries? Wouldn't they have been trying to redefine the church?
Sainted Brother Martin?
According to what standards, though, you might say. Carol's saying, haven't there been other people that have reinvented the church? Well, yeah, I would say, for sure, but according to what standards, you know. Somebody did say Christ-centered here. That was good. You know, but we haven't said, like, a biblical, you know, grace-filled instead of whatever else. We haven't said all the kind of words that Martin Luther and John Calvin and others were bringing to us. Yeah, thank you.
I was thinking in terms of what about an encounter with the holy? Mm-hmm.
See, that's real radical. We didn't say anything like that here. Although the word reverence did come up once when we were talking about worship.
You know, what's interesting to struck me is that list
is a mixture of what is a congregation and what's beyond a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And the club aspect is most clear as we look
at a congregation.
And then you have certain things pop up. When you go beyond the congregation, you have another grid come up.
That's good.
And part of our difficulty, I think, now is, in fact, that our culture has become almost entirely focused on the individual in relationship to a specific community, mm-hmm. and what's beyond that becomes very difficult.
That's right.
And so you have institutions and denominations struggling with what it means to be the church.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And most of us here are speaking from some kind of local expression of the church, just as you're saying. Although, like Carol said, boy, I'm really concerned about global mission and, you know, many denominations, and others said that too, but most of us don't have that experience. So then how do we help ourselves? Craig, do you have an idea? We can talk from where we're coming from.
No, I guess I'm first of all identifying reality and then questioning if we in fact pull those grids apart,
mm-hmm.
and what does it mean today to an individual to be a part of something beyond one's own local worship community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you do that, then I think then the club becomes less of a possibility if one sees oneself as a part of a movement, a tradition, an institution.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact,
through the ages.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So parish becomes an entry point rather than a destination.
The parish becomes an entry point rather than a destination.
Yeah.
It changes the way we think of a mission's not there.
No, it's not there.
It's implied a couple places, but what we mean by mission changes if we're talking only about a congregation or we're talking beyond. You can do that
uh-huh.
with a lot of things.
Oh, yes, I agree.
And it's very difficult, as I perceive our contemporary North American culture anyhow, it's very difficult to get people to see beyond the local.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult to see beyond yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back on certain kinds of community feelings.
Yeah.
We go and visit prisoners in a federal prison, and in there I feel. Well, I guess I just feel more of what I would like to see the church act like, because you have all different colors, and there's such imperfection in singing, but it's done with such a sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you contrast that with going to your regular church and the sluggishness that we wonder whether we're alive sometimes, you know. Sometimes I question whether we need to, let's take, for instance, music, whether we need to be so perfect. And we have to have all the learned attempts at realms or in practicing hymns. I think that most singable hymns can be learned by the second verse. You can just start out and do it. You know? But we seem to want this perfection.
Of course, you're speaking about something that's in your experience, where I'm a lay supply preacher in the smallest congregations you'd ever want to see in Western Pennsylvania. We're not talking about perfection in singing. I could say, I think the church should be, or, what I'd really like to see happen is all those people learn how to sing and all those pianists learn how to play the piano. But in fact, what you're saying about your experience in the prison is true for me, but I don't come from any place where people are demanding perfection in worship, and others might not be either.
Watching that little girl tonight, I mean, the tears were rolling down my face.
It was quite a trio.
It was beautiful. Just watching her face, she knew every word from memory. She wasn't singing on key. So what? Watching her face and seeing her see those words and looking around and getting a smile from someone. I mean, that was real worship for me. She was doing it from her heart. thought that was great.
I have a feeling that this little expression of the church that we are right here is actually fairly divided on this question. Do you feel that way too? That
which
we,
question?
On what the church should be,
what
worship should be.
We're always of one voice.
We're always of one voice.
I don't know. I get the impression that I look at this list and I don't see anyone going, well, no, that shouldn't be up there. You know,
yeah.
We're all kind of in the same, in the ballpark together.
You think there would be anything upon which we could arrive at a consensus at all?
Several things.
Would you like to try to arrive at a consensus before we leave? I don't mean that we have to, but would you like to see if we can come to agreement on a thing or two?
Now, Margaret Thatcher would say, consensus is the negation of leadership.
Go ahead. That's why there are no leaders of the forums, Martin, right?
You're just getting part of my stuff, vulnerability, where I struggle with consensus decision making and what is leadership in a community of consensus. And I think that's partly what's happening in our church. Yeah. Who are the leaders supposed to be when the congregation is saying, say it wrong, pal, and I'm out of here. Mm-hmm.
Say it wrong, pal, and you're out of
here. Yeah. Well, either one.
Religion. That's all. The church wants to satisfy everybody. They don't want to satisfy religion. They want to be the local club. That's exactly what they want to be. They want to bring people in, and they want to make them feel good, and they want to, you know, maybe say a prayer, and maybe do this, and maybe do that. But if they don't like the way you say it, they're going to tell you they don't like the way you say it, and exactly what you say.
See, I would like the church to be a place, a group of people that asks me much less frequently what I think the church should be, and proclaims to me much more frequently what through the ages, you know, the accumulated wisdom says this is what we are.
Uh-huh.
I'm really tired of being asked what I think the church could be, because I am not that smart
tonight?
For one
thing. Why did you come?
I don't know. Maybe it's time for me to go.
Well, I have one comment to make. I have my PTA friends, and I have my church friends. And my church friends are my solid friends that I go to when I'm troubled and I need real help, you know. My PTA friends are my friends I go out for coffee with afterwards, and we talk about our kids. But the conversation stops at a certain point because they're not part of my Christian friends. And so my church, you know, is important to me for that.
Back here.
Is it complete to consider, reflect upon this question, what I think the church should be, without also thinking what God thinks the church should be?
Do you want to go a little bit further with
tell
that?
Us. What does God
think? I
haven't
told my son yet what it is.
Say it again, Dad.
I haven't told my son yet what it is.
You used this word before.
Yeah.
You know, but we surely didn't say, well, and you used this word before, Walter.
Holy Catholic Apostolic. Yeah.
I'm putting a question mark there.
I'm very uneasy when we have individual pastors in individual congregations all over the country changing things according to the new mode and not taking into account the holy, the apostolic, the Catholic, the tradition, the whole bit. And I was a part of a congregation, I don't know, maybe it was 20 years ago, it was more than 20 years ago, it's almost 30 years ago. The pastor arbitrarily changed things, and at that time I felt I'm a victim of what this one person thinks should be done, and he's not following anything that we've done before in our whole tradition or what we, you know, and it was arbitrary. He would switch from one spot to another, and it was just awful, and I would not have been a part of that because I didn't trust him. I didn't trust that changing arbitrarily because he wanted to.
There's a word, tradition.
And is that a good word or a bad word?
Bad.
I think it's bad.
Okay, see?
I saw that.
See?
It's both. Okay. Because you've got to be flexible, you've got to have variety. That's what's so great about Holden. Every night it's different. And you're worshiping in different ways.
But you also need from the balcony. To be careful. You also need to be careful because the way we worship becomes the way we believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But if you ignore tradition, I think community includes those who have gone before us and those who will come after us.
Yes.
And so part of tradition is remembering those who have gone before us. Mm-hmm. And we cannot forget that. Too many young people are hoping that they can.
Another word for tradition is continuity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that has less baggage with it. Because the word tradition means many different things, positive and negative and in between. Yeah. The word has many different meanings. Continuity might be a little bit less baggage.
Catechizing.
Lyman Lundeen quoted to me a definition of tradition that I used earlier tonight. The tradition is one way of letting your grandfather and grandmother have a vote in the decisions that you must make today. And I kind of like that, transgenerational democracy. Mm. Not the only vote, not the deciding vote necessarily, but a vote. And I want to honor what Grandpa and Grandma honored. Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to try to love what Grandpa and Grandma loved.
I took a little liberty with your word tradition. And I put the word remembering in the word anamnesis, you know. The church to be a remembering community as well as a looking forward community, a proleptic community. We use that word here a little bit before, too. Tradition is a hard word for some of us. That doesn't mean there ought not be tradition in the church, but this is a church word that maybe we can all say, oh, yeah, we want to be a remembering. We want to remember Grandma. We want to remember the 16th century. We want to remember the 4th century. And we also want to be thinking about who's ahead, who's ahead. And how is what we're doing now impacting those folks?
Because as Yogi Berra said, if these people were alive today, they'd roll over in their grave.
That's why he's here.
What else is going on up there? Anything else?
Yeah, Robin.
We can all go home.
Gold star for Walter Bowman. But we might not all think that that's what we want the church to be, but hey, that's what the church is and has wanted to say that it is. And a lot of us would want to vote. We kind of hope the church would stay that, as well as some other things might happen to the church, but not to lose sight of that.
One thing that we didn't say is that we talk about the church as people, but we didn't say a gathering of sinners.
Yeah.
Sinful failure.
Forgiven sinners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when we have these disagreements,
those are the baptized. Yeah. You know, I want to say those are the baptized. The people that are gathering are those ones. To me, that's sort of implicit, I guess. Or do you think it's important to hold up our brokenness? Is that what you're saying?
I had 2 points. One was that when the church, congregation size to worldwide size, back through the ages and forward in time, when the church, big or small, has these inevitable divisions and defaults and doesn't meet my needs and wasn't there when my mother died or whatever, we shouldn't be surprised because it's a group of sinners. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of our expectations and our hopes for the church.
And then the other point is that if I don't recognize my sinfulness, baptized or not, if I don't recognize my sinfulness, then I might as well just go to Rotary. But if I recognize my sinfulness, the church is where I want to be.
Mm-hmm. Sounds a little Seymour Eustace at Pecotter kind of talk.
What?
A little bit justified at the same time that we're sinners. You know, the good news side is good news for the sinful side, the saved side, the justified side. We've gone about 10 minutes longer than what we had said we would. Do you feel like that we are near a place where you could stop for an hour?
I'd like to know if anybody's church is like this, one holy Catholic apostolic gathers bread we're sending, and are you growing?
I know one.
Who said that? Who said that? What did you say?
She said, have you ever been in one holy Catholic?
No, I didn't say, have you ever been in. I said, is anyone in a church like that?
Yeah.
See, Leo, yeah. Sure. Tacoma is a multiracial, deeply faithful, holy Catholic, apostolic, thriving inner city ministry. Is just the most exciting place to worship.
And we want to remember that church isn't only congregation, but church is also synod or diocese, and church is also church-wide, and church is also the whole body of Christ on earth. So some of those expressions of the church, maybe the one you've been part of right now is not seeming that way to you.
And I think that is, in fact, the struggle that many denominations are going through is how central our place where we've been the last 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The two boxes, the remembering, looking forward, how central is that to a church's self-understanding? That's why I raised that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear or is it not clear? If it's not clear, then it's diffuse, it's nondescript. And I think that's a part of our struggle, at least in the church that I'm a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's true of others as well.
Okay. Do we feel like we want these things to stick?
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to say, do all these other things and never mind that one and that one. Right? We want those ones to be there. Maybe we were kind of assuming them, who knows. But we did not. We did not say them. They were not the things that we picked out. And do we still want to kind of uphold these other things as well? I mean, I was hearing you say that with happy that much energy.
I'm glad we did get to the part in the boxes, because I think there's some uneasiness. We're thinking, really,
oh, there was.
What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
And it's a little less scary to kind of go back to that.
Is there throwing away the other? Is there something more that's wanting to be said right now? I think it would be good if we kind of took a minute to find our hearts and have a prayer for the church before we depart. But is there something else that's wanting to be said around right now?
So if we need direction, I think there's one that's ready to give us some direction.
I do too. Last week in one of the Bible studies I was doing, I read some of Annie Dillard, and most of the population of the village has changed since last week, so maybe those of you that know and love Annie Dillard, these are a few words from Teaching a Stone to Talk. And those of you that don't know Annie Dillard, here's one of the many wonderful things she has to say about the church. And following this, why don't you see if you can locate your heart, the part of you that thinks and feels about the church, and that acts too, because your heart is in your gut if you're a biblical person. So see if you can find what's going on in your heart, gut, right now about the church, and then we can see if some prayer emerges from that. Why do people in churches seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a package tour of the absolute? The tourists are having coffee and donuts on deck C. Presumably, someone is minding the ship, correcting the course, avoiding icebergs and shoals, fueling the engines, watching the radar screen, noting weather reports radioed in from shore. No one would dream of asking the tourists to do those things. Alas, among the tourists on deck C, drinking coffee and eating donuts, we find the captain and all the ship's officers and all the ship's crew. The officers are chatting and swearing and winking a bit at slightly raw jokes, just like regular people. The crew members have funny accents, and the wind is picking up. Something's going on. On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It's madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to the pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense at us. Or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return.